Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the Mount Sinai Jewish Center, the office, the board, everyone who makes this happen. Mishpashet. The Oreo cookie is double stuffed with halachos. True, that could be said for any food. Any food has many dietary laws associated with it, but the popularity of the Oreo may give it a boost, maybe fun, more fun to think about, more fun to talk about with friends. And there's many types of Oreos, but for us there's two types. There's the Oreo with dairy ingredient, and then there's the Oreos without the dairy ingredient. So there's a special duality to the Oreo, and it special duality to the Oreo, right? There's the Oreos that are have dairy ingredients, they're milkshakes, and then there's the Oreos that are just dairy equipment. Right? They all both have an OUD, one kosher symbol. Now, there's really many types of Oreo cookies. There's 101 types of Oreo cookies that are certified. Some Oreos are not kosher, like in England, Australia, Asia. But in America, there's 101 types of Oreos that have kosher certification. They can be categorized into two separate categories. They're either dairy ingredient or not. So let's think about the kosher ramifications of a Shabbos guest who is vegan and brings an Oreo cookie that has no milk and dairy ingredient in it. And let's think about the ramifications of a vegetarian Shabbos guest who brings an Oreo that has milk in it. So the original Oreo, the Oreo prosciutto, is the Oreo that does not have dairy in it. It's a dairy equivalent. It's a quasi dairy. There's no dairy ingredient, but there are some. It is dairy in respect to some situations. And then you have the Oreo cookie, which has dairy ingredient in it, which would be the chocolate-covered Oreo. The chocolate-covered Oreo, it's some are overtly dairy and some are not so overt. We're not going to discuss the not so overt, but the chocolate-covered Oreo is though it only has an OUD symbol, the same symbol for the Oreo prosciutto, the chocolate-covered Oreo is obviously milchik. If you look at the ingredients, if you look at the allergy alert, it'll indicate dairy. So, though you only have an OUD, if you look around, you'll find on the package dairy, and that will let you know that you're dealing with dairy ingredients. That's for the chocolate-covered Oreo. Chocolate-covered Oreos are typically dairy. So let's think about the vegan, right? The vegan Shabbos guest. They bring the Oreo prosciutto, right? They bring the Oreo prosciutto for dessert. And the Oreo prosciutto for the vegan is essentially vegan. For vegans, if the item was cooked in a keli that was used for milk, was used to cook milk in, so then, as long as there's no dairy ingredients, so then it's vegan for their purposes. Even though there are some traces of milk in the walls of the kli, and then the milk in the walls of the kli will go into the food that is cooked in that kli, and that's what we call dairy equipment, not parnat, the hetera. So for us, it has a quasi-dairy status. For the vegan, it's not. It's vegan. So the vegan brings the Oreo pshuta to the Shabbos table for dessert. What do we do? So it's pretty straightforward. The Oreo pshuta can be eaten after a meat meal, and have used the same plates, same tablecloth, same cutlery. Following the meat is fine. You just can't eat it with meat. Eating it with meat is the only issue. So, pretty easy, right? It looks like we can accommodate the vegan Oreo guest, and they can bring out their Oreos, the Oreo pshuta, to the Shabbos table after the meat. And pretty simple. Really don't have to do anything different. So is that it? Is that the end of the story? No. There's a quasi dairy status. And that comes from the dairy equipment, as I said. And so there is some dairy there. Right, the dairy from the previous cooking in that pot has remained in the pot, and then it goes when you cook or bake the Oreo, it goes into the Oreo. So there, whatever was dairy was in the pot went into the Oreo. So that is that causes a concern for someone who is makban on Chol of Yisrael. Right, some people are makban on Chol Yisrael to only drink milk that is certified as being Chol of Yisrael, and they don't consume regular milk. And the Oreo pshuta has a small amount of regular milk in it. So let's say the host. Is one of these people? The host is one of these people that is makvid, is particular to only consume certified Chol of Yisrael, and therefore they don't want to eat a food that has a small amount of non Chol of Yisrael, well, in that food. So what do we do? Is there anything we can do here? Is the vegan guest the only one who's going to eat the Oreo pshuta here, or can the host partake? So there's a shach who's speaking generally. The shach says that if someone is noyheg in Isser, he's noyheg something, a food as being prohibited, min hadin, and then you have another person who holds that it's not Asur Min Hadin. And the person, the Machmir, visits the Mekel, right? And the Mekel makes a coffee for the Machmir. Now, the Shach is speaking generally. I'm going to use, the Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Stam issue as an example of the Shach. But the Shach doesn't use this as an example. So the Machmir on Chol of Yisrael visits the house of the Mekel on Chol of Yisrael. Now, the Mekel makes a coffee for the Machmir. The pot that was used to heat up the water for the coffee is a milchik pot. It was used for milk. So it has something in the walls of the kli left over from the milk. But that was more than 24 hours ago. That was more than 24 hours ago. And so, since 24 hours has passed, the milk that the non-Chol of Yisrael milk that was in the wall of the Kli the Chol of Stam that was in the wall of the Kli has become stale. It is no longer a viable Chol of Stam. It's become stale, and it's really nothing. So the Mekel heats up the water in this pot that had milk in it more than 24 hours ago, so that Chol of Stam is now nothing. And the Shach says the Machmir could take that coffee, could drink that hot water, because just like we're lenient in general regarding a Kli that has had 24 hours pass since it was used with, you know, Isser, right? You know, if someone cooked non-kosher meat in a pot more than 24 hours ago, they washed it out, and it's perfectly clean, and 24 hours later they heat some water up in it. So because 24 hours has passed, you know, now that it's done, now that you heated the water up in that Kli, after the 24 hours you can be nana from it. You can consume that water. So that's generally, we are in a Ben Yom Akeli. We're Mekel. 24 hours has passed by, you know, a full on Isser. So to here, the Shach says that you can treat it like since it's in a Ben Yomo, it's already done. The coffee was made, so it's like any other food that was cooked in a Ben Yomo pot. It's mutter luchatchila at this point. It's totally okay since it was done. So maybe you can say the same thing over here with the Oreo cookie. The dairy equipment Shabbos had some milk of Chol of Stam. It went into the cookie in the form of nap or nat. And we will assume that the Oreo cookie was made on kalim that had 24 hours passed since the milchic usage, since the Stam Kolov went into the Kli. Right? We'll assume that 24 hours has passed. Stam Kali in Ben Yoman. You can say that by a Jewish Kli. There is a difference between Stam Kali and Ben Yoman by a Yid and a Goy. There is a difference. We'll assume that the Oreo cookie was made on a Kli that was in Ben Yomo. So therefore, the little bit of milk that was in the walls of the Kli, the walls of the vessels which the Oreo cookie was made on, that little bit of milk, was stale by the time the Oreo was made on it. So in terms of the problem of the milk, the contamination of Chol of Stam into the Oreo cookie, we can use the Shach and say if it's Ein Ben Yomo, then it's okay. You can look at that as it's okay. Now, still another issue here in terms of the host partaking of the Oreo Pshuta, right? There's another hurdle here. The host may be Makbid on Pasakum. The host, and let's say our host in question is particular to only eat Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. His wife only, you know, bakes challahs. That's not the only way you can have Pas Yisrael, but the wife makes sure that all the baked goods are Pas Yisrael, and on Shabbos they only Pas Yisrael. And the Oreo is not Pas Yisrael. It's Pas Akum, Pas Paltu Goy. And so what is, are we stuck? Is the vegan Oreo guest going to be the only one eating the Oreo Pshuta for dessert? So, there's a very beautiful Ramah in Yoredeya. Very beautiful Ramah in Yoredeya about this. But first, Pas Yisrael, you know, Pas Yisrael can become Pas Yisrael just briefly. You know, if a yid contributes to the baking in some way, they turn on the fire, or they stoke the coals, or they actually put the bread and the dough into the oven. So those are ways to make Pas Yisrael. The Oreo Pshuta and the dairy Oreo are not Pas Yisrael. So is there something, can the host partake? So there's a beautiful Ramah in Kuf Yud Beis, Yoredeya. The Ramah is lenient that if someone is eating with someone who is makrid on Pas Yisrael, someone who is particular to only Pas Yisrael, is at the same table eating with people who are not makrid, and they eat Pas Akum, the Ramah says it's okay that the machmir partake of the Pas Akum because of Eva and Katata. It's okay to eat because of the Pas Akum, as long as it has a heksher, right? It's going to be it's okay. We can waive the requirements, at least for this person or their minhag, to eat Pas Akum, Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. They can waive that for the sake of peace. And so there we go. The host can even partake. The host can even partake of the Oreo Pshuta on Shabbos. Right, we've sidestepped. This host can sidestep the Chol of Israel issue and the Pas Yisrael issue. So beautiful. So the host can join. The family can join the vegan Oreo guest with eating the Oreo Pshuta for dessert. Now let's consider the vegetarian Shabbos guest. The vegetarian Shabbos guest who brings a milkic Oreo for dessert, they bring the chocolate-covered Oreo. It has an OUD, but it has it says dairy on the package. It says dairy in the ingredients. So, the vegetarian, being vegetarian, didn't eat meat, didn't eat chicken, didn't eat cold cuts. No meat. But the vegetarian guest ate a hot potato from the cholent, and the cholent was leishik. So it wasn't, according to this vegetarian, it wasn't a transgression of vegetarianism, but the Ramah holds that a cholent potato is called a tavshil shel basar. And a cholent and a tavshil shel basar is enough fleishiks to make you fleishiks for hamtana. The Ramah holds that if you eat something like a cholent potato that was cooked with meat, and you wash the potato off, and you eat it, that makes you have to wait 6 hours until 6 hours have passed, and then you can eat gvina. Right? So the Ramah holds that this cholent potato from the fleishik cholent makes you fleishik, that you have to wait 6 hours before you have dairy. So that would, it would stop right there. Right? So we wouldn't be able to, everyone else who ate meat certainly couldn't eat the milkic Oreo. And even the vegetarian who didn't eat any, meat be'ain, they didn't eat actually mamashoy shel actual meat, but nevertheless they have a meat status, and they won't be able to eat that milchik Oreo until 6 hours pass. Let's say that let's consider another case of the vegetarian Shabbos guest. Let's say the vegetarian only ate salad and challah, bread and dips. So they could eat milchiks, right? They could eat milchiks. They don't have to wait 6 hours. They didn't need any fleishiks. But this is a mitzuda. Can we bring the milk cake Oreo, the chocolate colored Oreo, to a table where meat was served? And the answer is we can, but unlike the Oreo pshuta, we're going to have to clear off the fleishik plates and cutlery and make a hecker that this person is eating, so that we take notice this person is eating something, a dairy item, and like a placemat or a menorah or some sort of object that's going to remind us that this person is eating something that the meat people cannot eat. So we can accommodate the vegan Oreo guest, and we can accommodate the vegetarian Oreo guest. Certainly, we can accommodate the vegan to serve the Oreo pshuta after a meat meal, right? We have the shak, we have the ramah, even the host can partake. Right? We're talking about the Oreo pshuta, which is just dairy equipment, can be eaten after meat, no problem. Just cannot be eaten with meat or cooked with meat, but it's okay for dessert after a meat meal, and you have the host could sidestep and traverse the pas akum issue and the chol of stam issue, and if you see it coming, if you see this issue coming, the vegan guest is going to bring the Oreo pshuta for desserts, it's probably best to discuss, how to handle this with the Rav if you want to take advantage of the leniencies of the Shach and the Ramah. It's really something that needs to be discussed with the Rav if that's possible. Nevertheless, the Ramah is a beautiful Ramah. It's a very beautiful idea. The halacha that the halacha of Pas Yisrael steps down for the sake of peace, right? The person is noyeg only to eat Pas Yisrael on Shabbos, and the Ramah says we're eating with people who are not, they don't eat Pas Yisrael, so then you can join them in their Pas Akum for the sake of peace, right? The halacha of Pas Yisrael steps down for the sake of peace. It's a beautiful idea. But that's only here. The Ramah says that's only here. Don't reapply it. Don't reapply this this kula, this leniency. And certainly we can accommodate the vegetarian Oreo guest on Shabbos. They can have their chocolate-covered Oreo just as long as they didn't eat the cholent potato from a meat cholent. If they didn't eat the a fleishik potato, then they can certainly have milkiks. They can certainly have milkiks, and we just have to make a hecker on the table, a separate placemat or the like, and shalom al Yisrael. Are there any questions? Okay. Well, thank you for joining and listening. And Mr. Shem, we will continue in the uncovering the many halachas that are associated with the Oreo cookie.